morning. We're doing a sermon series, and we started this last week for those of you who weren't here, called Voting Our Values. How many of you know it is important to vote, right? Very important. We here, Pastor Mark and myself, you didn't know, I'm the assistant pastor. My name is Pastor Austin. Just throw that out there. He is not here this week, as Sonia said, so I get to talk about this. And what we've been talking about is that it is so important for us to vote. You see, when I was growing up, I kind of struggled with the idea of Christians imposing morality, godly morality, on other people. You know, because it's kind of like, well, they're the world. They don't know, and so should we make them do something that we believe in? I kind of struggle with that. But Pastor said it last week, and something that I have come to know as I've gotten older, is that every time a law is made, morality is dictated, right? Every time. And don't you think if God is perfect and His Word is perfect, and if we live by His Word, our life is going to be amazing? Don't you think it's our opportunity as Christians to tell people, hey, here is what true morality looks like. Here is what godly values look like. And people will thank you when they accept Jesus and go, wow, I'm glad that there's the laws in place that kept me from doing things that I shouldn't have done. Right? So it makes sense that we as Christians, we can say, hey, there is a time, our election, that we can vote for people who believe in godly morality and godly values. Ultimately, voting comes down to this one thing. What is something worth to you? What is something worth to you? I'm going to show some pictures of the things, the topics, the issues that are going on right now, and whoever we pick to represent our country has, the two candidates, has a vastly different idea on how these things should be done. So the first one you can think of is borders, all right? Now think about this, from a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this to you, this issue, our borders? You could think about it in your mind. It's pretty important, right? Borders, security, right? Making sure that people come into the country legally. That's a very good thing. The next thing would be gun control. And all the people in Texas said, yeah, right? Like, I have a lot of guns, and I'm really hoping I can keep those guns and continue to buy those guns. Like, I enjoy that, and I know many of you guys do. So this is also really important, right? It's one of the basic principles of the United States, that we have the right to bear arms, right? Not get muscle shirts and do this, right? To bear arms, guns. Okay, you guys aren't laughing and you're not. Okay, yeah, okay. Next one would be homeland security. This is a big issue, right? Homeland security. It's a very big issue. Scale of 1 to 10. It's probably up there. Education. Education is really important. What our children are going to be learning, right? I have a 2-year-old and I have one on the way. He is in the womb, all right? And I'm excited because I believe that he can have a better future than I ever did. Hopefully, our education system begins to work out a little better. Okay, the next thing, healthcare. Everyone knows that there is healthcare issues in our country right now. So this is another one. Scale of 1 to 10, what do you think? Next one being foreign policy. That's a big one as well. And the last one, A life. Now, of all the things that I just showed you, and all of them being extremely important, I believe as Christians, as a father, that there is nothing more important in this world than a life. And as Christians, it boggles me how we get so upset about so many issues. But sometimes this one is the least talked about, right? I grew up, my parents lost their mind every time election season came around. I don't know about you. My parents were watching the television. They're yelling at each other. Why? They're agreeing, but they're yelling. And I'm not sure really what's going on, right? And so growing up, I was like, I don't really want to have anything to do with this. Like, I don't like this. I don't enjoy this. The older I've gotten, the more I've realized that I need to know the issues. I need to understand what's going on. And the reason we get so fired up about it is because ultimately it's our core beliefs, right? It's the things that we grew up with, the things that made our blood boil when someone talked about it in the way we didn't agree. It's like, no, that's not right, you know? And you want to like tell them how wrong they are. It's something that's within us because it's what we believe in. It's our deepest seated beliefs. And so it's difficult. But what I want to say this morning as Christians is we can't fight the people. We have to fight the issues. So I hear a lot of hate going on in the world when it comes to politics. A lot of times pointed at the people instead of the issues. How can we as Christians expect someone who doesn't know Jesus to be like Jesus? We can't, right? But we can vote for things that say this is what God believes in. This is what God values. And to me, the biggest issue is a human life. Our quote today that I hope you'll remember and take home with you, and if you remember this, you'll remember everything I talked about this morning, hopefully, is this: you have worth not because of what you do, but because of who you are. Let's say that one more time. You have worth not because of what you do, but because of who you are. Now, everyone together, because it's so quiet in here. One, two, three. You have worth, everybody, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. I love that. I love that. I love the fact that I didn't have to do anything to have worth. It is because of who I am. It's because of who you are. See, everybody say this word, sanctity of life. Say that, sanctity of life. That's the term we hear when we're talking about the issues that are going on in our country. Now, sanctity of life, actually where that term comes from, is a biblical truth. Did you know that? In Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, "So God created human beings." I just spit everywhere. That's really gross. All right. "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." It's like so redundant. I love that, though. God's like, "I created you in My image. In My image, I created you." And it's like, no, like, really? Like, yeah, I created you in My image. In My image. So the phrase sanctity of life, it reflects the belief that because people are made in the image of God, that human life has an inherent sacred attribute that should be protected and respected at all times, right? Because it's not what you do that gives you value. It's who you are because God designed you in His image. See, we can distort this. We can think that, you know, and I think obviously Darwinism distorted this beyond repair in many people's lives, but we can distort this and say, hey, everything has value. Everything is equal. Humans, animals, we all came from the same thing anyway, so we all have equal value. Well, that's not what Genesis 9 says. In verse 2, he says, "All the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. I have given them to you for food, just as I have given you grain and vegetables." Thank the Lord for bacon. Everybody, just thank you, Jesus. It claps while it's being cooked. It's like, all right, anyway, that's Jim Gaffigan. So, while God gave humanity the authority and to kill and eat other forms of life, the murdering of another human being is expressly forbidden, with a penalty in Genesis 9 of being killed. In Genesis 9, verse 6, it says, if anyone, and this is Old Covenant, this, so you can think about it, but it gives a really good illustration. It says, if anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands. For God made human beings, again, in His own image. In His own image. This is so important for us to remember, that every single one of you were made, and me, were made in the image of God. I don't understand it when Christians, and I've had it happen in my life, but when we get really down about ourselves and we think we don't have worth and value, You know, all you have to do is look in the mirror and go, image of God, right? Like, that's really what it is, that God made us in his image. And some people look in the mirror and like, ah, you know, but that's okay, you know, whoever. It's not a big deal. Okay, but here's the deal. I read this, I want to read it to you. It says this. It says, the sanctity of human life is not due to the fact that we are such wonderful and good beings. It's good, right? Because we're not. The Bible says none of us are good. The only reason the sanctity of life applies to humanity is the fact that God created us in his image and set us apart from all other forms of life. Now, although, and we could say this, although the image, that image, has indeed been marred by sin, his image is still present in humanity. We are in the likeness of God, and that likeness means that human life is always to be treated with dignity and respect. Many apply the sanctity of life to issues like abortion and euthanasia, and listen to this, church. And while it definitely applies to those issues, it applies to much more. The sanctity of life should motivate us to combat all forms of evil and injustice that are perpetuated against human life. Violence, abuse, oppression, human trafficking, and many other evils are also violations of the sanctity of life. These are issues against the very image of God, right? Mankind. See, God loves us and values us above everything else. Shouldn't we so do the same? That's why Kenan's going to Greece, because he's saying, I understand there's people that need to know the love of God and need to be reminded of the image that they were made in, right? Because they have value. Again, you have worth not because of what you do, but because of who you are. You're made in the likeness of God, and that alone, because of that alone, you have worth. So this morning, I want to tell you, if there are times in your life where you are depressed, where you feel down, where you feel alone, where you feel like you're not as good as so-and-so, remember that God made you in his image. And he loves you. Desperately, he loves you. It's funny about worth. You know, worth comes from what someone is willing to pay for something. I used to collect football cards, and I think I've told you guys this before, if you've been here a while, but I used to collect football cards all the time. I would go every Sunday with my mom and my stepdad, and we'd go to a place called Noble Trading Card Supply. And so we would go inside, and I'd be like this tall, and I was like, yeah, I want some cards, you know? And like they'd be like, okay. So we'd get like four or five packs, and we'd take them home, and I'd go, and I'd watch the Broncos because they're God's team. The sunset is blue and orange, okay? Anyway, so you'll get that later. Anyway, so I used to get these cards, and as you were opening them, you see these cards, they're like really thin, right? They just like print this picture on it. But what's amazing to me is that those cards have a lot of value. Some of them, some are like, don't need that one, right? But some are so valuable. And it's amazing to me. Why does a football card or a baseball card or any other card have value? I grew up in the year of Pokemon, and so I had like boxes of Pokemon cards that are now useless, and my parents are like, why did I spend hundreds of dollars for nothing? Anyway, but they have value, right? They have value because someone is willing to pay for them. Now, I have the top five most expensive cards ever sold. And so you can kind of guess how much they are. But the first one is this. This is number five. Is a 1954 Hank Aaron card. How much? Just throw out a number. How much do you think someone paid for this? 50 cents. Probably $4.50. That's a lot. $357,594. Now, how many of you went, why didn't I get more baseball cards? Okay, number four is a 1909 Eddie Plank card. All right. How much you guys think this? This is number four. How much you guys think? The last? Huh? No, a little less. A little less. $414,000. $1,750. Next one, number three, is a 1955 Roberto Clemente card. What do you guys think? It's pretty close to the other one. It is $432,690. Now, the second one's a Babe Ruth card, 1914. Now, how much do you think someone spent for that? $1.2 million. Not that much. Half. $517,000. Now, the most is the number one is the 1909 Honus Wagner card, which the card itself doesn't even look that good. What? That's $1.2 million. This one went for $2.8 million. It has a hole in it. Like what? You know, someone like cigarette butted that out. I don't know, but $2.8 million. So as you guys can see, if I saw that, I would have no idea what that was. Like I'd probably throw it away. You know, like this isn't worth anything. I have no idea. I've learned now that I will look up every card that I ever come across and see if it's worth anything. But $2.8 million. See, the reality is this. Something is worth only the amount that someone was willing to pay for that thing. Not only are you priceless because you are made in the image of God, you are worth everything to God because of the price He was willing to pay for you. Not only are you made in the image of God, but God loved you so much that He sent His Son to purchase your price. Your worth comes from the cost that someone is willing to pay. Romans 5, 6 says this, when we were utterly helpless, I love that word, think of a little puppy dog on the side of the road, right? Like, I need food, you know? When you were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Amen. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God, friendship, I love that word, was restored by the death of His Son, the price He paid, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. I love that. Love that. Jesus purchased our price. I have a son, Joshua. He's 2 years old, and he's my life. Like, he's amazing. I love him. And he doesn't even act great most of the time. You know, he's 2 years old. He's like, nah, I don't want to do that. No. I'm like, I love you. He's like, no. It's like, okay, great. My child hates me. Anyway, I could not imagine giving him up for someone else. If any of you have kids, you know that's true. There is not one person on earth who is the value of my son. I would die instantly if it meant he got to be saved. That's it. Like, no question needed to be asked. Can you imagine God, what He values you to send His Son for you and for every person out there? Again, we cannot fight the people. We have to fight the issues. If we begin to hate instead of love, then we have lost the battle. Because every person, whether you're saved or not, Jesus died for them. Every person, whether you're saved or not, was made in the image of God. See, everyone outside those doors, everyone inside these doors has worth, not because of what they do, but because of who they are. He thought you were worth everything. In God's eyes, you were worth His pain, His suffering, and the life of His Son. And this morning, if you don't feel like you have worth, just look at the cross behind me and realize that that was the price that was paid for us. Priceless. It's priceless. So how does this affect the way we vote? Going back to values and voting. Proverbs 8 says this, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice." In my eyes, there is no one more helpless than an unborn child. No one who has no voice more than an unborn child. The definition of abortion is this: the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy. This wasn't an accident. This was deliberate, right? This is a decision that is made to end one life in order to enhance another. In any other form, this would be called murder. But for some reason in the world we live in, many simply believe that this is a means of dealing with an inconvenience. I'm going to play a video, guys, and I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but in this video, this person who's speaking is at the Democratic National Convention. So, go ahead and take a look at this video.
To succeed in life, all we need are the tools, the trust, and the chance to chart our own path. I was fortunate enough to have these things when I found out I was pregnant years ago. I wanted a family, but it was the wrong time. I made the decision that was best for me, to have an abortion and get compassionate care at a clinic in my own community. Now, years later, my husband and I are parents to two incredible children. My story is not unique. About 1 in 3 American women have abortions by the age of 45, and the majority are mothers just trying to take care of the families they already have.
Now, I don't know about you, but the first time I watched that, like, I was weeping, crying the first time I saw that. Not at her, but at the fact that Satan has so infected the minds of humans to believe that we can make a decision that is best for us when it comes to ending a life. Now, if I stole money from you and said it was what was best for me, you would go, what's not best for me, right? A lot of people will say, well, if we make abortion illegal, then the women, they'll go to these places in the deep, darkest corners of the world, and they'll get an abortion, and they could die. I'll say, yeah, if you want to get heroin, you're going to have to go to a drug dealer, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, if you're going to make a decision that's illegal, then yeah, it's illegal, right? And so it's a fallacy to argument. It doesn't even make sense why we would think that. But here's the deal, guys. 1 in 3 women have an abortion. That's what she said. 1 in 3 women. So I would be foolish to say this morning that maybe someone in here, maybe a few of you, have not experienced this, right? I would think that maybe there's someone in here. I want you to know this. Even if this has happened to you, you're loved. So loved. By God, by us. We don't judge you. We understand. Everyone makes decisions. Everyone makes decisions that many times we regret, right? But what I do say this morning is enough, right? Enough is enough. This year alone, statistically, and this is just moderate, they say there will be over 1 million babies aborted in the United States. 1 million, over. They say that every day 3,315 babies are aborted in the United States. That means in 1 hour, us sitting here since 10 o'clock, over 138 children were aborted. Let's put this in perspective. Montgomery County, Texas. That is Conroe, Magnolia, Montgomery, Shenandoah, Splendora, Willis, and more. It's 12 cities in that county. Total 499,000 people. 2 times the amount of our entire area is murdered every year. Every year. And I believe as Christians, even if you don't like the candidates, you should find the candidate that is pro-life and vote for him. Or her, or him, because it's important, right? We could say, I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the things they say. let's choose the issue that's the most important, because it's the most important. Life is important. To God should be to us. And I think that God is in heaven saying, hey, guys, wake up. Wake up. There is a mass genocide taking place right under our nose, and we say nothing about it. I wondered myself, like, okay, a baby, you know, growing up, a baby, if it's in the womb, does God at that point, you know, does it have purpose at that point? What is that? And many of you know the obvious answer, but I found this in Psalms 139 many years ago, and it just blows me away. In verse 13, it says this, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." I love that. I mean, God literally, my son Judah that's in my wife's stomach right now, in her womb, God is intricately forming him. Intricately forming him with a purpose and with a plan. The Bible even says that even before the world was laid out, the foundations were made, God created us in Christ Jesus to do good works. Works that he beforehand sent out. I mean, that's amazing to me. That God, even before any of us were made a thought in our parents' eye, right? God said, hey, you have a plan. You have a purpose. You are my child, and I will pay the ultimate cost for you because of how much I love you. God gives us infinite worth, and I think this morning we should vote. If anything, for this reason alone, for life. So babies in America can live. And not only that, this morning, if you're in here and you're fighting depression, you're fighting just anger in yourself, hatred of yourself, issues that are going on that you would say, man, I'm not worth anything. If you've let the devil just continue to speak that in your ear, no, you are priceless. You are worth everything to God. You are made in his image, and he loves you so, so much. This is the biggest issue facing the United States, so let's begin to make our voice heard. This morning, I just want to pray, and we can move on. But I do believe that this is such an issue, such an issue. So let's stand up for children and babies. And you guys can stand as well. Let's pray. God, you are so good, and you are so, so worth everything. Every bit of what we have, of our lives, God, you are worth it. And God, not only are you worth everything, you thought we were worth everything. You died for us. You gave yourself for us. You purchased us with an unbelievable cost. And God, for that, thank you. Thank you. And this morning, I pray that every one of us, we will be the voice for those who are helpless and unheard. We will be the voice for people who need you, God, not only just with the issue of abortion, God, but with human trafficking, with violence, with abuse, all these issues. God, I pray that we would be the people that say, God, I will go and I will help someone. I will see someone be freed from the tyranny of things that are happening to them, God. We love you, and we will be your people that go and do your work. We love you, Jesus. You're so good. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, I love you all so much. You're worth so much. And go home and...